Translation. Maharaj Nimi continued, Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting a material body because they fear having to give it up again. But devotees whose intelligence is always filled with the service of the Lord are unafraid. Indeed, they take advantage of the body to render transcendental loving service. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body which would be a cause of bondage because he was a devotee. He wanted a body by which he could render devotional service to the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Janmo bi mo icha yadi tora bhakta grihe jani janma hoi mora gita janma hoi yatha tui dash. My Lord, if you want me to take birth and accept a material body again, kindly do me this favor. Allow me to take birth in the home of your servant, your devotee. I do not mind being born there, even as an insignificant creature like an insect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti ahaituki toye. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruitive activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. Shikshashtaka, the verse 4. By saying life after life, janmani janmani, the Lord referred not to an ordinary birth, but a birth in which to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a body is desirable. A devotee does not think like yogis and jnanis who want to refuse a material body and become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence. A devotee does not like this idea. On the contrary, he will accept any body, material or spiritual, for he wants to serve the Lord. That is real liberation. If one has a strong desire to serve the Lord, even if he accepts a material body, there is no cause of anxiety, since a devotee, even in a material body, is a liberated soul. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha yasya hare dasya karmana manasa gira nikilishwapi vastasu jivan muktasa uchete. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence and words, is a liberated person even within this material world. Although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities, the desire to serve the Lord establishes one as liberated in any condition of life, whether in a spiritual body or a material body. In a spiritual body, the devotee becomes a direct associate of the Lord. But even though a devotee may superficially appear to be in a material body, he is always liberated and is engaged in a service. My mind just went blank. Liberated and is engaged in the same duties of service to the Lord as a devotee in Vaikuntha Loka. There is no distinction. It is said, Sadhu Jivava Marova. Whether a devotee is alive or dead, his only concern is to serve the Lord. Tvaktva deham puna janma naiti mamiti. When he gives up his body, he goes directly to become an associate of the Lord and serve Him, although he does the same thing even in a material body in the material world. For a devotee, there is no pain, pleasure, or material perfection. One may argue that at the time of death, a devotee also suffers because of giving up his material body. But in this connection, an example may be given that a cat carries a mouse in its mouth and also carries a kitten in its mouth. Both the mouse and the kitten are carried in the same mouth, but the perception of the mouse is different from that of the kitten. When a devotee gives up his body, tvakta deham, he is ready to go back home, back to Godhead. Thus his perception is certainly different from that of a person being taken by Yamraj for punishment. A person whose intelligence is always concentrated upon the service of the Lord is unafraid of accepting a material body, whereas a non-devotee, having no engagement in the service of the Lord, is very much afraid of accepting a material body or giving up his present one. Therefore, we should follow the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mamma Janmani Janmanishwari Bhavatad Bhakti Ahaituki Twaye. It doesn't matter whether we accept a material body or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuon Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Patantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopisha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Brindabanishwari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya, Vanchakalpatu Rupyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacham, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Yasya Yogam Na Vachanti Viyoga Bhaya Kataraha Vajanti Charanam Bojam Munayo Hari Medasaha Maharaj Nimi continued, Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting the material body because they fear having to give it up again. But devotees whose intelligence is always filled with the service of the Lord are unafraid. Indeed, they take advantage of the body to render transcendental loving service. I'm grinning because I'm nervous. It's the second time I've given Bhagavatam class in the manor. I've given it before other places. And I'm a teacher by profession, but I can't believe I'm just feeling so nervous that I couldn't. I was reading, and then my mind went blank, meaning that you could see the words, but you just couldn't read. It looked like Japanese to me. I don't know. It just felt different. I've never had that experience before. So I looked at the person who asked me to give the class, Siddhapa Prabhu. So I was fortunate enough to meet Kadamba Kanana Maharaj a few weeks ago. And so I had a frank discussion with him. I used to give classes before and then I stopped. I used to sing and I stopped. And I used to do that because I used to get puffed up. I used to get proud, and I used to think I'm the doer. So I stopped giving classes, and I stopped doing kirtans, and I just became, you know, depressed. So I went to Marge is so regal. He was just sitting there, and the sun is shining on his face, and he just gave me 45 minutes of his time. I was so happy, you know. Sadhu gave me, he gives me 1 minute of his time, I feel happy. Gave me 45. And I said to him, I stopped giving classes, I've stopped singing, I just feel, you know, that if I do this, it fans my false ego, it makes me proud. So what's the point? And he said, you know, you're not the doer, Prabhupada is the one who's bringing all the knowledge, it's not your knowledge, so what have you got to be proud about? So he convinced me that you should give classes again, and you should sing. But then he really pointed out that, look, you're 39, so you know, because I said, look, if you were my age, what would you be doing? Because he was a married man, and then he became a sannyasi. He said, I would encourage you to study. Study the scriptures, so when you get to my age, you'll be able to do something about it. You can help people. He's 61. So I really appreciated his advice. And then the next moment, Suttapa Prabhu comes up to me and says, you're giving class. And Nandan also tagged him. So they said, you're giving class. And this was in February, and I was supposed to give class. And then Jayadvaita Maharaj came and gave the class instead, so I felt relieved. And then they forced me to give it today, so I had to give it because of them. But it was such a connection. Kadamba Kanana Maharaj gives me an instruction, and then all of a sudden, Suttapa Prabhu, when he says you have to give it, you can't just say no. Yeah, you just can't. So, but there was one thing I asked Maharaj, it was about suffering. I was getting depressed because when you look at BBC website, it's more like a horror story than anything else. It's told so much suffering. And if those who grew up in the 80s or 70s, it was a different type of life in the material world. And now you grow up now, you can't walk around safely in the material world. It's just so dangerous. So I said, Maharaj, it's so so dangerous, so much suffering, it depresses me, you know, to live in this world. And why would a pure devotee want to live in the world? Because he sees suffering everywhere. Because this shloka is about coming back to the world or moving out of the world. And he told me, he said, the pure devotee is thinking that so many people are suffering, but I must be compassionate to give them Krishna to end their suffering. So that clicked in my head. That's the reason why a pure devotee would stay in the material world, to help others get out of the material world. So this whole verse is about Maharaj Nimi. You know, he wants to do a yajna, and he's asking Vasishtha Muni to do it. Vasishtha Muni is doing a yajna for Indra. So he said, not now, I'll do it later when I finish. And then Maharaj Nimi says, I can't wait in case I die. So he gets some Brahmins and he does the yajna. Vasishtha Muni comes back and says, what did you do? He said, I've done the yajna. So he curses him to die. So Maharaj Nimi also counter curses, which you shouldn't do to your guru, but he counter curses him and says, okay, you're going to die too. So they both die. That's why in Kali Yuga, the curses don't work, so it's best to bless someone with poverty, then it works. So they both die. So then now the saints want to revive. Vasishtha Muni moves on, he gets born again, but Maharaj Nimi, they want him to take birth again in the same body, so they ask the demigods, can you make sure the soul comes back? And they can, but not Maharaj Nimi says, no, I don't want to come back in this body. I don't want to come back. Don't imprison me again. That's his mood. He wants to come back in the body where he can render transcendental service eternally. So that's the whole point. But our mood, the Acharya's mood, is, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even if he was offered the position of Lord Brahma, if that means that he could not be a devotee, he doesn't want it. He'd rather be the worm in a stool or the worm in a devotee's family, or insect, insignificant insect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that birth after birth, let me be engaged in your devotional service. Once I was in Jagannath Puri, and my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami, we were cutting a cake for somebody, and then every time you cut a cake for somebody, you always sing this song, Hare Krishna to you, isn't it? Yeah. But then afterwards, devotees go, may you never take birth again. Have you heard that one? They always say that. So he just chastised everybody. He said, Jamani Jamanishwari. You know? Because the mood is, you take birth again, it doesn't matter. You go back to God, it doesn't matter. Our mood is not, may you never take birth again. Yeah, I'm just looking at you, so I'm thinking of Tamakrishna Maharaj. There's one picture of this deity, and I can't remember where it is. It's a deity in India, Dandabhanga deity. And if you see this deity, you go back to God. So they wanted to show Tamakrishna Maharaj this picture of the deity. He said, I don't want to see it. Because he didn't want that desire. He wanted to do whatever Prabhupada said for him to do. Come back in the material to preach or go back to God. But the jnanis, the yogis, they've got some issues. They want to leave. They want to leave their body and go back to the Brahman. Or enter the Brahman. They want to merge. And interesting, in this purport, Prabhupada translates it as Mayavadis too. I was wondering, why did he translate Mayavadis when it says Jnanis? Because their goal is similar. Jaidvaita Swami said they're synonymous, meaning that they want to merge. They want to just get out of their bodies and merge. The only difference is the Jnanis, they're not envious. They just, you know, in the first level of devotion, where they just, first level of transcendentalism, where they just want to merge into the Brahman. They don't have that envy. The four Kumaras, for example, were impersonalists until they smelt the tulsi from the Lord. But the Mayavadis, they are envious. They want to become God. So there's a big difference there. But both of them want to get out of the bodies and merge into the Brahman. So that's why Prabhupada uses Mayavad in the translation. He says Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting the material body because they fear having to give it up again. Everyone wants to, they get scared, you know, of giving up their bodies. They get scared. But devotees are not scared. And I'm going to talk about one particular devotee, His Grace Tribhuvanath Prabhu. I really wanted to speak about him today. And there's another one too, if I get time. So the Jnanis, they all think, let's just merge and let's be happy there because there's no material body, there's no relationships. Because generally, if you notice, relationships cause a lot of suffering. Yeah, so they don't want to have that type of aspect of their lives. They just want to merge and then they're free from all sorts of relationships or accepting a body when it gets old. Believe me, when you get older, I'm 39, I'm feeling it right now. Probably people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s will really feel it. But yeah, the body starts to change. And your mind starts to forget things. And I am forgetting things. Like I just barely could sing Jai Radha Madhava. I was forgetting the words while I was singing. And it's so painful to actually go through that aspect. But compassion is the most important quality because if you have compassion, you can preach. If you don't have compassion, you can't preach. You don't feel sorry for anyone. You just don't want to do anything. So you must have compassion. So Prabhupada's compassion is the most magnanimous compassion. He could have stayed in Vrindavan and had a good life. But instead, he felt so sorry for the living entities in this material world. In fact, according to Bhavananda Prabhu, he didn't want to come to the material world. He once was in Los Angeles and he spoke to Bhavananda Prabhu and he said, originally I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to come here. But Krishna told me, you simply come and write those books. I will arrange everything. You just come and write those books. So Prabhupada, he thought this was a disgusting place. He didn't want to come here. Therefore, Prabhupada is called a Nitya Siddha. He's directly from the spiritual world. You have to be to organize ISKCON. Can't be a conditioned soul to organize, manage the devotees and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So it was in this temple room I met His Grace Tribhuvanath Prabhu, 1993, I remember. And he was leading Guru Puja. And I thought to myself, wow, that's an amazing Guru Puja. You know, who's this personality? Then I started to ask people about who is this person. And then I go to his lectures. And then I realize that actually he joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1969. He was given a Bhagavad Gita. His housemate gave him a Bhagavad Gita. He's from Ireland. And he started reading the Bhagavad Gita. And he read the whole Bhagavad Gita, I think, that night. And then he went to the Soho Street temple. But it wasn't there. It was Bury Place opposite the British Museum. And he started to... he came at night. So the devotees didn't let him in because it was time to go to bed. So they said, what shall I do? He said, do you come back in the morning? So all night he was just chanting around with a bell. He had a bell with him and he was chanting Hare Krishna all night. And the police stopped him. And they said, what are you doing at this time of night? It was 2 or 3 in the morning. And he said, oh, I'm waiting to go in a temple and I'm just chanting. So the police knocked on the door and they said, look, you've got to take him in. So he was there. He loved it. He was so happy. He went back with Dhananjaya Prabhu, back to his flat, took his belongings and never came back. That's how he joined. He just never came back. He personally told me that he went to the temple when Prabhupada installed Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara, and then he didn't get to see Prabhupada because Prabhupada already went to America, I think. So he was so... Who's met Tribhuvanath Prabhu? Yeah? Right. He's an unsung hero in ISKCON. I mean, not many people have heard of him right now. Not many people have heard his lectures. He's on YouTube. His book is like 14 years in the making, so I don't know when he's going to come out, but he will come out, hopefully. But he's super enthusiastic, and when he chanted, it was extremely pure, and it made everyone just dance and chant loudly. Just like today, it was really fired up. So he used to serve Prabhupada intimately. He was a very intimate disciple of Prabhupada. And then once he was on a morning walk, And he heard Prabhupada speak about his teachers. Prabhupada's teachers were from Edinburgh, from Scotland. So then he thought to himself, if I open up a center in Edinburgh, that would please Prabhupada. So he went with a devotee called Kishore, and he went to Edinburgh, and he started knocking on people's doors, and then shaven-headed and wearing saffron. And he relates this story. He knocks on people's doors and says, can we stay with you? And the Scottish people said, not only you can't stay with me, what are you doing on my porch? So, you know, he kept on knocking, and eventually someone rented a room. So they had this small room with a big double bed in the middle of the room. So when they would do their classes, Tribhuvana Prabhu would be on one side of the bed, and the devotees or new people, comers, would be on the other side, and they'll be giving fruits. And it was very simple and very austere preaching. But eventually, they found a building in Edinburgh. To this day, we don't have a building in Edinburgh, but at that time, they found a building, and this building belonged to a person called Alistair Crowley, who was into black magic. So it was a haunted place. And incidentally, he is the grandfather of Suhotra Swami. So Tribhuvana Prabhu would say when he went in the cellar, he felt living entities touching him. You know, it was a very haunted place. But Prabhupada loved it. So Prabhupada went to that place, and it was right in the city of Edinburgh, where it's a vibrant city, and he was preaching there. Prabhupada was so happy that in the hometown of his teachers, when he was in Calcutta, he had a temple. And Tribhuvana Prabhu was the main person who instigated that. And then he invited Prabhupada to come to this big hall, and Prabhupada came and sat there with all the devotees, and he gave a class, and then one man stood up in the audience and said, I am God. So the audience went, you know, hushed. And Prabhupada thought for a while, and he shouted back, you're not God, you're a dog. But he said it with so much faith and compassion and everything, the whole audience erupted like a football, like a goal has been scored. And the man just sat down. He was just so scared. But they were so poor, they didn't have much money, that Tribhuvana Prabhu had to beg the people that came in, could you give us some money to feed our spiritual master? Can you give us some money? Because he didn't have any money. And they didn't have any food. Prasadam, Prabhupada was starving. He didn't have any food the whole day. So they just cut oranges for Prabhupada, and he just kept on sucking on the oranges. And then Tribhuvana Prabhu says, Prabhupada was in ecstasy. He's never seen Prabhupada in this mood. He was in ecstasy. He was like waddling, like where he was just intoxicated with love of God. And then Prabhupada put his hands on Tribhuvana Prabhu's head and said, now you spread festivals all over Scotland. And Tribhuvana Prabhu felt so fired up that Prabhupada was so pleased that he gave him his blessings. And when you get touched by the pure devotee, you do get purification. It's a fact, by getting touched by the pure devotee, because the pure devotee is not material, and this is what this purport is referring to. It's spiritual. You spiritualize the body. The body becomes spiritualized when the senses, the mind, body, and intelligence is used in the service of the Lord. It becomes spiritualized, just like this microphone. It's material by nature, but now it's spiritualized because it's being used for Krishna's service. So he would go and preach in Africa, in the east of Africa. Anyone been to Africa? It's a tough place, especially when there's mosquitoes around. So he would go, take a big bus, humongous bus, and would drive from England, and he would bring it to Africa, and he would just drive around doing festivals, set up a Harinam, have a stage, and just preach Krishna consciousness in villages and towns. And the black people were just dancing in ecstasy. They were just dancing. The locals were just dancing, taking the prasad, and the kids were like, he told me the kids took his watch, they took his clothing, and they said they would have taken his skin if they could, you know. They just really loved him, he said. And once he had to do a program, and I don't know if it was Nairobi to Mombasa, but it was 8-hour journey, and he had to go and do a program. and he was driving his bus out of the Nairobi temple, and then the brakes didn't work, and he was on a hill, and Nairobi temple's on a hill, and he crashed. But as he crashed, he went, "Krishna," and luckily the tree blocked the bus from falling down a cliff. It was that dangerous. Still, and Ravi was there. Ravi's a devotee from Birmingham. He was there, and he said, Tribhuvana Prabhu just got up, got all the equipment, the sound equipment, everything, got into another bus and still drove to this program. Relentless. He was going to do this program, and he did it. He drove 8 hours, led the kirtan, gave the talk. He would always give the talk and did the kirtan, and he just carried on. He would not let anything stop him. I've never seen someone so determined in his life to spread Krishna consciousness, to go out of his way to push his mind, body, intelligence in the service of Prabhupada. He loved Prabhupada. He said once, "Dave, if I was on a building and Prabhupada tells me to jump, I'll jump. That's how much faith I have in Prabhupada. If he tells me to jump, I'm going to jump. No question." And he said devotees were like that in the 70s. They were so surrendered, they would just do it. No questions. "Oh, Prabhu, I'm tired today. Or can I just have an extra hour of sleep?" I'll tell you about sleep. He was in Inishraf Island, and he had to drive from Inishraf to here. This was in the 90s. And I just barely got up to go Mangalati. And he drove the whole night, probably 6 hours, the whole night. You take a ferry and you come over. And then you see him in Mangalati, and he's not standing there trying to wake up, looking at the deities, looking around. He's just dancing and chanting, and he's fired up. So you could see he has taste, complete taste in the Mangalati. And he said, in those days, we used to jump and dance around in Mangalati. He wasn't, you know, standing around. He was fired up. So then, it's Japa period. So after Mangalati, Japa period. So I'm thinking he must be resting in his bus. He's driven the whole night. So I go to his bus, and he's just chanting in his bus. He's just chanting. So I said, "Oh my God, he's so amazing. He's just come all the way from Inishraf Island, and then he's in Mangalati, does the full morning program, and now he's chanting in his bus. He's not even sleeping." So I walk in with Giri Prabhu, and we just pay our obeisances. And I hate paying obeisances to him, because he would pay his obeisances back to you. I would hate that. When a Prabhupada disciple bows down back to you when you're 20 years old, it's not comfortable. So I used to hide around corners and bow down so he wouldn't see me. And so then I said to Tribhuvana Prabhu, "Will you ever initiate?" Because I wanted to be his disciple. So, "Will you ever initiate?" And he said, "I'm not qualified, Prabhu. I'm not qualified." And he really meant it, but obviously he is qualified. So humble. And he said, "I'm not qualified. But who knows, one day I will." So then I realized he's not going to be my spiritual master. He's not going to initiate. But I have an uncle-nephew relationship with him, siksha relationship, which is sweeter. Because if you do have a spiritual master, you know what I'm talking about. When they chastise you, you don't want to hang around. But with an uncle, it's a different type of chastisement. It's more loving, more caring. They chastise you, they pull your ear, whatever they want to do. But it's loving. So He would do preaching in Glastonbury. He would go to Glastonbury with people who are half drunk or jumping around and going mad. And he would do Harinams all over Glastonbury. And then he would have his tent and he would be singing all night. Literally all night chanting Hare Krishna and helping so many people. So many people became devotees from the festivals. Dayal Baladev, for example, I can't see him, but he became a devotee because of Tribhuvana Prabhu. A lot of people were inspired by Tribhuvana Prabhu to become Hare Krishnas. So I went to a Virgin festival. It's called the V2000 festival, Virgin festival. And it was in Essex, you know. Okay, I can see you nodding. So I go in there with all these Pandavasena girls and boys. And Tribhuvana Prabhu's there and he does his kirtan. And he does it for 2 or 3 hours, his solid kirtan. And then it's amazing sight. You see like at least 200 people. You were there. You were doing the sound. I remember. Sorry to embarrass you. So you see at least 200, 300 people in a tent. They have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, but they're chanting and dancing, going, Hari, 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 Hari. They loved it. They loved Tribhuvana Prabhu's kirtans, and his kirtans were mesmerizing kirtans. They were amazing kirtans that someone who has no inclination towards spiritual life would just come into the tent and start dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. It was an amazing sight to see. And that's the power he has to attract conditioned souls. Once we spoke about going back to Godhead, I was outside in the car speaking to him, and he said, Prabhupada said that you don't go directly back to the spiritual world. You take birth again on Bhoomi Vrindavan. Vrindavan on earth, in Krishna Lila. Because you need to get trained up, Prabhupada said. So generally you don't go back to Godhead. It's very rare that someone goes directly, Prabhupada calls it, to the original Vrindavan. You take birth again in the material world where Krishna is taking part in his pastimes. You go under a gopi or a coward boy. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. And you get trained up. So you get into the mood of what a Brajabasi is. And then after that life, Prabhupada calls it a happy life, you go back to Godhead. Once I asked him to come to my birthday party. I was 23 years old, and I thought, he may not come. I wish he comes, please. I've got like 100 people waiting for him to come. It's so amazing if he comes. And he came, and I lost all formality. I just hugged him and shook his hand. Like, oh, thank God for you coming to my birthday party in my house. You know, I was so happy to see him, because for me, he's like a divine personality. So surrendered to Prabhupada. And not only I felt that, many people, many Pandava Sena members wanted to be initiated by Tribhuvana Prabhu. He's so exalted. So he came into my house, and he spoke about Prince Charles and Lady Diana, and because at that time Diana passed away, and he gave a 1 hour beautiful mesmerizing class about Krishna consciousness. And then he led this kirtan, and this madanga he had didn't even work. It was a dead madanga, sorry to say, but it just didn't work. But he beat that madanga so nicely that everyone was just jumping and dancing for at least an hour, chanting Hare Krishna. And then I haven't said this, but all my money that I got on my birthday, I just gave it to him. I said, please take it. I just was so happy that he came to my house and blessed my house. And he looked after me. He looked after so many devotees. You know, have you seen sometimes there's a guy who can spin plates, and then he puts it on a stick, and then the plate is spinning, but then it eventually dwindles, and then you have to spin it again. So he said, that's what I do to devotees. They're like plates, they're going like this, and then all of a sudden they start dwindling and getting slower, and then I have to spin them again. And it's true, we were like that. You know, you get fired up in his presence. He's got such an aura around him, and then you go off, and then you go into Maya, and you come back again, and he has to spin you around. And he told me that Maya whips you, and the more advanced you get, the more she whips you harder, and she whips you. And he had experience of going into Maya, because he was in the movement, then he got disgusted by the management, he left the movement, and then he went into his own lifestyle, and then he came, and then Prabhupada told him in a dream, if you don't come back, I can't protect you. So he came back in the 80s, and I remember in his memorial, Rancho Prabhu said to Shivram Maharaj, look after this one, this is a special soul. He's come back. And he came back, and then he went to the Himalayas and he made a vow. I don't know where he went, but he went to the Himalayas and made a vow to spread Krishna consciousness. And when he came back, he was more fired up and more self-realized. Because when you get burnt in the material world, and then you realize what Prabhupada has been saying in his books. So if you hear his classes, they're full of so much realizations, so much practical realizations. Once he told me in Ireland that he's walking with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's whacking the floors, the ice, they're full of ice in London. And Prabhupada said, he's asking, the devotees are saying, why are you whacking the floor, Prabhupada? Why are you smashing the floor? And he said that it's not the natural state of water to be frozen. So it's not the natural state of a living entity to be conditioned. They must be liberated. They must be devotees of Krishna. So when I went to Ireland in Ishraf, Vince tells me this story. A Pandavasena trip went to Ireland in 1995, and we saw Tribhuvana Prabhu there. But he just returned from the Phalo festival, which is a very famous Irish festival. I think it's called Phalo. It's such a famous festival that if they like you, they throw cans of beer around over your head. Because they're half drunk anyway. But if they like you, they throw bottles and beers around you, over your head, to say they like your singing. So he would be singing and people would be throwing bottles just past his head, and he would just carry on singing. So he came back to Inishraf, which is a temple in Ireland, on an island in Ireland. And Vince tells me this story. The first time I met Vince, Vince is a devotee, tall devotee. He's a disciple. He's like a disciple of Tribhuvana Prabhu. And he said to me, I'm not in his good books today. And I said, what happened? He said, well, we came back from the Phalo festival, and then the next morning he told me to paint the temple. And he got out and he started painting the temple. We're all shattered. We're all tired. We've done 3 days chanting and dancing, and Tribhuvana Prabhu still gets up and he's still painting. And they ask him, why are you painting the temple? He said, because the Pandavasena are coming the next day. We need to paint the temple. We need to make it clean. Look clean. And Vince was just sulking and said, oh, I don't want to do it. And Tribhuvana Prabhu said, just get lost. Get out of here. If you don't want to help, just get out of here. And that's why he was sulking around the corner, you know, saying, oh, I got chastised by Tribhuvana Prabhu. And when you do get chastised, it hurts. So I remember seeing Tribhuvana Prabhu, and he would live in a van. He would live in a van. Wouldn't live in some house or relax in a bed, just live in his austere van. And he, in Inishraf, this is 1995, we're all sleeping on the floor on sleeping mats or sleeping beds, whatever. And he, you couldn't see him sleep on a bed. What he did, and this is what I call chant to sleep, he'll be chanting on a couch. And you know when you're tired, you just lie down on the couch? He wouldn't be doing that. He'll be chanting, and he would be in our room. We're sleeping, like 30 boys are sleeping in the room, and he's just sitting on the couch chanting. And in the morning, you wake up, and he's like this. So he's chanted to sleep. So he obviously chants more than 16 rounds a day. So naturally, if you're tired, you'd lie down, but he didn't do that. He was so austere. He just carried on chanting, and that's how he slept most of the time. I don't know if you ever saw that. It was an amazing sight to see. I was so attracted to that, thinking, wow, so attached to chanting. He once said that the devotees would do 8-hour Harinams in Oxford Street, and he saw this for himself, that at night they will still be chanting in their sleep, that the devotees were constantly chanting in their sleep. He said it was such an amazing sight that you're chanting 8 hours a day, and then in the night you're chanting in your sleep. Once I was outside at the manor, and there was a big limousine. Obviously somebody was getting married at the manor. Black limousine. And he was looking at it. He was going like this, looking inside the window, because it's a big limousine. And I was looking too. And then he said to me, you know what Prabhupada says? And he's talking about the groom who's getting married. He said, prince for a day, fool for life. Prince for a day, fool for life. I didn't get the joke at the time until I got married. Then I understood what he was talking about. But he knew exactly what Prabhupada would say about any issue. He knew. He knew it before he even met Prabhupada. They said, oh, you know so much about Prabhupada. How long have you been with him? He said, I've never met him. So he knew always what Prabhupada said. Once he was in a room with Prabhupada, and then he asked Prabhupada, what's the role of the spiritual master? And Prabhupada was actually, he was reading a letter and he had his glasses. So Prabhupada took his glasses off and he said, you see these glasses? These glasses help me to focus. So the role of the spiritual master helps the disciple to focus on Krishna. That's such a beautiful example. He just immediately took out his glasses and explained that. Once, Prabhupada was in his room, and there was a fire upstairs in his room. And all the devotees started freaking out, because they can see smoke coming out of the room. So Tribhuvana Prabhu fearlessly ran into the room to try and get Prabhupada out of the room. He couldn't find Prabhupada. And then he hears behind the door, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So he said Prabhupada was so equipoised and he didn't, you know, get scared. He was just simply chanting. He didn't care about the fire. Once he was in Africa and he got bitten by an insect. And he was severely ill. He said he was shaving and then he just fainted. And the next minute he was on the bed and he had a cracked head and there was blood leaking. So he came back to England and he was put into the tropical diseases unit at UCL Hospital, Gower Street or somewhere there. And incidentally there's a Hare Krishna festival in Camden a few days later. So I go into the hospital, and he's had blood tests and all that stuff, and he's sick, but he's organizing the whole festival on the mobile phone. He's talking to Vince, he's talking to Ravi, and he's chastising everybody, and he's just organizing. He's in bed and he's organizing the whole festival, and then he hides his phone when I walk in because he thinks it's a nurse, and he says, "Oh, it's you," and then he just carries on talking. And then I said, "Are you okay? Is everything all right? How are you? You know, do you want to eat?" He goes, yeah. And I said, "Okay, I'll go to the Soho Street Temple and I'll get you something." And so I go to the Soho Street Temple, the restaurant, and I said, "Oh, I'm getting something for Tribhuvana." And he goes, "Tribhuvana, bro, here, take it." And they gave it to me free. They gave me the food. And I got jacket potatoes, I got pasta, I got whatever he needed, drinks. I went back to the hospital and I gave it to him, and it was such an amazing sight. He was eating a jacket potato, just simple jacket potato. Spuds. Just eating this jacket potato, and he felt like he was eating the most delicious, opulent food in his life. But to him, it was prasadam, and he loved simple prasadam like pasta or jacket potato and things like that. And he said that when I was a kid in Ireland, I would eat jacket potatoes. And I felt so, you felt so happy that you're just pleasing a pure soul. And you just feel so happy. Can't explain it, but you feel so blissful. If you meet someone who you're attracted to, that you want to serve, there's no hesitation. You're not forced to do service. You just want to do it. So that's how I felt. So this lady comes in, nurse from Ghana or Nigeria, I don't know where. She comes in, and he's got tilak on, and she says to him, "What's that on your forehead?" Really aggressively, actually, like she's challenging him. And he retorted back, "This is a sign of God." And she just went like that. She just walked out of the room. She just couldn't take the power of what he was saying. He was so faithful and so confident. Super confident. Once we're on a Harinam. Now, if you've ever been on a Harinam with Tribhuvana Prabhu, it's a different type of atmosphere. He has a bubble of protection. And you're on a Harinam, you feel completely protected, and you don't feel like you're in the material world. It's just complete, utter protection. And you really want to be on the Harinam. So, there's two stories, but once this lady, she probably was on drugs. She came to the Harinam and she was trying to stop the Harinam, trying to stop people from chanting. And then she eventually went to Tribhuvana Prabhu and said, "Stop chanting, stop it. My baby's trying to sleep in the flat. You stop chanting now, stop it." But she was drunk. And I wanted to see, how is he going to react to this one? You know? And he said, calm down, okay. And he just was so calm. She calmed down, and then he moved the Harinam party to another location. He was so such a gentleman. He just understood what she was trying to say, and he just moved them on. Once he was given a class, you know, once he stops the Harinam, then he gives a talk. So there's a whole crowd. And then one of the guys was being a bit lippy, and he was saying, "Oh, look at your haircut. And Tribhuvana Prabhu said to one of us, he said, "Go and shave him up." Guy stopped talking after that. because he thought we were going to really do it. Once we were in the Harinam on Ealing Road, Pandava Sena wanted Tribhuvana Prabhu to lead the Harinam. It was a 2-hour Harinam. And then in the middle of the Harinam, he chastises everybody, stops the Harinam, and he says to everybody, "What's wrong with you guys? I'm chanting, I'm screaming the holy name, and you guys are just not even singing." And he said, "Why did I come here if you're not even going to chant?" And he just chastised us. And then after that, we all started to chant very loudly, very loudly. So his whole mood was giving the holy name, giving Prabhupada's books, giving prasadam. I can see Parashuram Prabhu there. He was one of Tribhuvana Prabhu's soldiers who would always help and serve Tribhuvana Prabhu. And so while we were in the hospital, I'm sidetracking. I know, should I finish at 8:30? Yeah, I still haven't begun my lecture, but... But I always wanted to speak about Tribhuvana Prabhu. Nobody lets me, so today is my day to say a few words. So he's ill, and the hospital made a blunder that they to take his bloods, and then they mix the bloods with someone else's bloods, and it causes a whole catastrophe, and he's still ill. They haven't treated him. And then the Hare Krishna festival is a few days away, and we're thinking in our minds, is Tribhuvana Prabhu going to turn up? Because he's just 2 minutes away from the hospital to Camden Town Hall. Is he going to turn up? And so I'm there, and I'm head of security. I have to organize the bhaktas, and I remember Prayojana Prabhu was one of the bhaktas, and I had to manage everyone and say, "You look after the fire exits and all this stuff." I think it was 1999. And so we're all waiting. All the devotees are waiting. And now he has a slick team. Right? He has Giri Prabhu, he has Kulashekar, he has Ravi, he has Vince, he has Parashuram Prabhu, he has Ratnavali, he has Madhurinda. He has the best dream team you can have when it comes to spreading Krishna consciousness. They're all sold out to him, and they all want to spread Krishna consciousness. And they're all there, fired up. And then at the last, the final kirtan, Tribhuvana Prabhu enters the hall, goes on the stage. He doesn't play the madanga, he's not well. And he does a fired up kirtan for 25 minutes. And I'm just going, "Oh my God, it can't get better than this. Let me die now," you know? Because, you know, my hero has just come. He's sick and he comes on and he's so determined to spread Krishna consciousness and to sing. And he does it. There's so much else I could say about him, but I have to leave because of prasadam, and I have to pick up my son and bring him here for nursery. But one final story. Yeah, the final story was that he found out he had cancer, stomach cancer. When he came here, when the devotees found out, there was like 100 or devotees, they came here and they were really upset. And he gave a class and he said, "I'm not upset. I had a good life, and if Prabhupada wants to take me, I'm ready to go." And the point of this purport is that the devotee is ready to go wherever Prabhupada wants him or her to go. They're not attached that I need to go back to Godhead, or they're not attached to position. And so I'm driving, for 3 days I was staying with him, so I was his personal servant and driving him around. And then on the final day, when he had to go to Brazil for the first time, because he was going to Brazil for treatment, and that's another story, but I'll say another day, he hugs me, and then he says to me, "Now all you need to do in your life is chant, read, and hear attentively. Just chant, read, and hear attentively, and I guarantee you," and this is pure devotee's words, "I guarantee you your whole life will be a success. I guarantee it. You just chant, read, and hear attentively. Don't worry about your married life. Your wife will take care of all the duties. You just chant, read, and hear attentively." And then he hugged me, and that was the last time I ever saw him, touched him, and remember his instructions to this day. So thank you for listening. I'm sorry we don't have time for questions. I don't like that aspect of the class because I'm not good enough to answer it. But Tribhuvana Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.